In the book of Psalms, chapter 66 and verse 16. Psalm 66 and verse 16. The psalmist says, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare unto you what he has done for my soul. This is the psalmist David speaking to a congregation of God's people. And this lesson this morning that we will study is no more than a testimony on how good God is. Those of you that honor and respect God, the Almighty God, goodness to each and every one of us. So we bless Almighty God for the sparing of each and every one of our lives on this side of time. We thank the great God of heaven for placing on our hearts to come out to the place of worship and study a portion of the inspired word of God. The Churches of Christ is a Bible-believing, Bible-practicing church. We believe that every word is true. And not only do we believe what's on the Bible, we believe what's in the Bible. The Bible says that it's a holy Bible. It comes from a holy God. It bears the traits and character of a holy God who sent his word unto you and I. So we believe all of the Bible. We believe the parts that we understand, and we believe the parts that we don't understand. We're convinced that all of the Bible is the inspired word of God. The Bible teaches us in the book of Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5 and 6, the Bible says that every word of God is pure, and he's a shield to them that put their trust in him. Add not to his word, as he reprove thee, and you be found a liar. You know, sometimes people ask the question about the missing books of the Bible. Well, I'm not worried about the missing books of the Bible, because I have a difficult time with those books that are found. And you know, the Bible has already explained that to us. It says in the book of St. John, chapter 20 and verse 30 and 31, the Bible says Jesus, in the presence of his disciples, did many things that are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and through believing, they have life through his name. Brothers, sisters, and friends, everything that we need to get us from earth to heaven has been given to us to help us and to equip us and to mature us. Everything. I got my Bible. Let me get my Bible. I want to bring our attention to the book of 1 Corinthians. Yep, thank you. Chapter 1. And we will look at verse 10. The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1. And verse 10 is the book. Notice what the Apostle Paul teaches in these passages of scripture. The Apostle Paul says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. for emphasis and for instruction. I want to read this again. Because this word, beseech, is a powerful word. The Apostle Paul says, I beg you. I implore you. Not by me, but by our Lord Jesus Christ, by the Almighty God, that we all should speak the same thing, and that there be no division among you, but in the same mind, and in this, but that ye may be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Brothers and sisters and friends, the sin of religious division is my subject. The sin of religious division. The Bible teaches us, and we thank Brother Josh this morning for the reading of God's Word. In the book of Psalms, chapter 33, we see that God delights in unity. In the book of Psalms, chapter 133, in verses 1 through 3, listen what the psalmist teaches. He said, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. So it is like the precious ornament upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment, and as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for the Lord commanded the blessings, even life forevermore. The Bible teaches us that God delights in unity. To have unity among brother and sisters is good and a pleasant thing. It is both good and it is pleasant to have unity. One of the most unpleasant things to be a part of a divided congregation. One of the most unpleasant experiences is to be part of a divided cause. God decrees unity. God commands unity. Teaches us in the book of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3. We are to endeavor to keep the unity of peace, the unity of the Spirit, in the bond of peace. The Bible also teaches us that in the Bible, in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, we'll take a look at that passage of scripture. Notice what the Bible teaches. It says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. The one Holy Ghost of God is what produces the unity of the Spirit. And so we are endeavored to keep the unity of the Spirit. We are to fight to keep this unity of the Spirit. There are some things and some positions that are enemies of the unity of the Spirit. So we have to recognize and be perceptive of the things that will separate us. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, you and I were born into a world of many denominations. You and I were born into a world of many faiths. You and I were born into a world of many religious organizations. And in our family church, generally became our church. And our family belief, usually what we came to believe. And although that we didn't start it, we became a part of it. Today, in this world, there's over 27 million of the denomination in this world. 27 million. 41,000 of so-called Christian organization in this world. Would it be safe to say that we are living in a saturated world today? A saturated world of churches. In the city of Longwood, there are over 40 different denominations in this city of Longwood. Now, it may be reasonable to some of you. I'd like to suggest a thought to you this morning. Some of it may be reasonable. It may be rational to some of you. And it may be revolutionary to others. And this is the concept that the church of the Bible is not a denomination. It was not. The church of the Bible is not a denomination, and the church of the Bible will never be a denomination. You might say that the church that I'm talking about this morning is that converted community of believers that we read about in the book of Acts. That converted community that the apostles wrote to in their epistle to the congregation. The books that the apostles wrote to in the congregation that were known as the epistles. And the apostles wrote law, and those laws became law to the church, those letters. And they were the church, but they were not a denomination that they wrote to. My contention this morning, that is in the Bible, Christianity is undenominational. That is, Christianity existed without religious division. About a church in the Bible, you can read about the church when we read the Bible. You can read about a church when we study our Bible. But you cannot read about a denomination. Why the omission? Because the Bible, in the Bible, there was a church. There was the church, but not a denomination. In the year of A.D. 50, the Apostle Paul had been a missionary, and now he was coming through close by the city of Ephesus. He would not have had time to visit Ephesus, so he stopped off at Miletus, and he sent for the elders. And when the leaders gathered around him for a briefing, here is what he said to the pastors and to the leaders of the church at Ephesus. I want us to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 20. And we'll see what the Apostle Paul said to those leaders and the pastors in the church at Ephesus. Notice what he says. He said, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers." In the book of Acts, chapter 20 and verse 28, he said, "To feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." This is what Paul said. He said, "For I know this." This is what I know. And Paul is foretelling in these passages of scripture. He is prophesying. He said, "This I know, that after my departing, till grievous wolves enter among you, not sparing the flock. Paul is teaching us this morning, when he depart, whether it be physically or in death, that grievous wolves will come into the church. And we're talking about two-legged wolves. And the Bible says that also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. So the Apostle Paul is foretelling that after his departure, what would happen. In the apostolic time, there wasn't but one flock. In the apostolic time, there wasn't but one faith. In the apostolic time, there weren't but one gospel. In the apostolic time, there weren't but one truth. The apostles predicted that evil men would turn away from the truth and pervert the one gospel. This is what the apostle Paul predicted that would happen. The apostles prophesied that evil men would turn away from the truth and turn their ears to fable. He tells us in these passages of scripture that this would happen, and we can see it happening today in our lives with all of these different denominations in this world. The Apostle Paul predicted, and he promised that this would happen. Brothers and sisters and friends, the existence of many faiths, the existence of many gospels, the existence of many opinions confirm and validate the accuracies of biblical prophecy. Religious division confirms the scriptures. Although the existence of denomination in this world exists, they exist without the approval of God. They exist without the blessing of Jesus Christ, and without the authority of scripture. Notice what Timothy says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 in verse 1. It says, the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devil, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hard iron. This would happen in these last days, and we are living in our last days. I want to bring us to a passage of scripture. I won't hold you long this morning. A very short lesson about the sin of religious division. I want us to look at the book of St. John, chapter 17, and we look at these passages of scripture, and we will come to a closing of the lesson. The book of St. John, chapter 17. And we will look at the Lord's Prayer. St. John, chapter 17 and verse 20. A lot of times people get confused about what the Lord's Prayer is. Some think that when people pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, they think that's the Lord's Prayer, but it's not. That is the disciples' prayer. When the disciples asked Jesus how to pray, this is what Jesus taught them, how to pray. What we're looking at this morning is the Lord's Prayer. I want us to think about this. Jesus prayed this prayer the night before the day that he was crucified. This prayer should weigh heavy on our minds this morning as we look at the Lord's Prayer. He prayed this the night before the day that he was crucified. We can see what was on Jesus' mind. Notice what he says here. St. John chapter 17 and verse 20. He's speaking about the future believers in him. He says that neither pray I for these alone. He's not praying just for the apostles. He said, but for them which also shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, the Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. That is, the world may believe that thou hast sent me. This is the Lord's prayer. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. He says, in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. He said, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. He said, O righteous Father, the world have not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I declare unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. This is the Lord's Prayer. Brothers, sisters, and friends, in the book of Matthew chapter 28, and I'll end with this scripture, the book of Matthew chapter 28, and I'll start around verse 16. Notice what the Bible teaches. Matthew 28 and verse 16. It says, then the 11 disciples went away unto Galilee unto a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, and some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Notice verse 19. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Jesus taught the apostles what to say and how to say it. He taught them the gospel. And he told the apostles, he says, therefore, he said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, who taught the apostles? Jesus Christ taught the apostles. And he told the apostles, after you baptize people, after you baptize them, he says, teach them whatsoever I've had commanded of you. Observe all those things that I have taught you. And that's what the apostles did. They taught those things that Jesus taught them. And so as we look into the Word of God this morning, we are to teach what the apostle is teaching us. No denomination. The only one church. Only one gospel. And as we leave here this morning, let us all be aware that religious division is sin. It's not accepted in the Church of Christ. The Bible tells us, let there not be any cliques in the congregation. All be one. Speaking the same thing and in the same judgment. The Bible teaches us that there's only one. We all are baptized into that one spirit. It's not but one gospel and one spirit, one faith. You hear people say, well, you got your faith and I got my faith. How's that possible when it's not but one? We only have one faith, one Lord, one Father, denominationalism is a sin. Brothers and sisters and friends, in order to become a child of God, God tells us that's something that we have to do. We first must hear his word. Romans 10 and verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We just can't hear anything. It has to be the word of God what we must hear. And after we hear it, we must believe it. In the book of Hebrews 11 and verse 6, the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. But he that cometh to God must believe that he is. And he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we have to believe God's words after hearing. And after believing it, we must repent. Luke 13 and 3. Shall tell you nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And repentance is no more than just a change of mind. We have to change our mind after reading the holy word of God and realizing that some of the things that we're taught, we can't find it in this Bible. We have to repent of that and repent. And after repenting, make the good confession. The good confession is Romans 10. Verse 9 and 10, the Bible says, if thou wilt confess with thy mouth that Jesus is the Christ, and God has raised him from the dead, that thou shalt be saved. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. That's the good confession, that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And after the good confession, we must be buried in the watery grave of baptism. Now, we're not saved until we are baptized. We have to have our sins washed away. I told some of you many, many times before, I was in a denomination that taught me that I was saved before I was baptized. And they held us over for a month after we made the confession. So they were waiting on everybody to get the deacons together to baptize us. Waited for a month. I was believing that I was saved. But as we look into God's word, we find out that there's not but one thing wrong with that. It's not true. We have to have our sins washed away. And the watery grave of baptism is where we get our sins washed away. In the book of Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26, the Bible says, for we all are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And for as many as you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. And this is where we put him on, right here in the watery grave of baptism. And after we have been baptized, we are to walk in the newness of life. And once we become a Christian, and we sin, a sin that has been made public to the congregation, we're to repent of that sin and ask God to forgive us and come back into the fold with a clean conscience. That's God's great plan of salvation this morning. And if there's anyone here that has not obeyed this plan, why don't you do it this morning while the blood is running warm in our veins? Or if you just need prayer, why don't you come while we sing the chosen selection?